Welcome to another episode of From the Roots Up. I'm your host, Sean Frame. This episode, I decided to go back through all of the episodes we aired in the last year and give you some flavor of the show to start the new year. All of the full episodes are available online at khi.com under the audio on demand section, but I figured I'd save you some time and whet your appetite so you can go back and dig in on them later. So now, with no further ado, I give you the ICMYI, in case you missed it, episode of From the Roots Up. Sucking off each other at the demonstrations, making sure they're making... We kicked off From the Roots Up with a topic I'm passionate about, healthcare. It was a great way to start the show because even though I thought I knew a lot about the topic, my guest came in and taught me so much. I hope you agree. And here's a clip from that show on From the Roots Up. All right, welcome back to From the Roots Up. I'm Sean Frame, and let's continue our discussion on healthcare. Let's get into the state of affairs. Here are some numbers that I think, kind of tell the story. And these are ones you've probably heard somewhere in the news, although they may not be highlighted in a way that helps you really understand what they mean. But let's start with one that I think is shocking. Here we are in the latest numbers in 2024. Basically show that about 27 million Americans are either un or underinsured when it comes to healthcare. Here in California, that number is about 2 million. So, you can extrapolate from there. 18% of our gross domestic product is spent on healthcare, despite 27 million people being uninsured or underinsured. And that's nearly double what the next nation on earth spends on healthcare. So you would think that, with that kind of expenditure, which is in the trillions of dollars, I think it's about $3.7 trillion a year our nation spends on healthcare services. And we'll get into it later, but maybe it shouldn't even be called healthcare. But nonetheless, 18% of our GDP is being spent on that, around $3.7 trillion. And yet, millions and millions of our fellow Americans remain un or underinsured when it comes to health insurance.
I'm here with Dr. William Bronston, author of Public Hostage, Public Ransom, Ending Institutional America, somebody who's also deeply involved in Physicians for National Health Program, and then also the California Lifetime Care Health Act, among many other things. I want to welcome you here with us today, Bill. Appreciate you coming.
Thank you so much. It's really an honor.
It's not too difficult for people who've been around a little bit to understand or to imagine how our system fails our most vulnerable folks. But what does it mean to the rest of us out in the folks just waking up every day and going to work and trying to live their life and stay healthy?
When I was in training, I was acutely aware that I didn't want to wind up in a nursing home as I got older. And that's always been an awareness, a gnawing awareness on my part. And the thing that your listeners are probably not thinking about or experiencing is that as they age, they will be put into segregated congregate facilities because that's pretty much what Medicaid funds. Medicaid funds nursing homes, supported living, hospice care, and the like. And so our morbidity and mortality statistics in the United States place us 41st in the world of premature death and illness. And so one of the things that I wanted to try and do, first of all, was to provide a document, a manual that would help individuals working in human service institutions to fight back against the iniquities, the abuses, the criminal actions that were taken against people. And secondly, to alert the general population that we all are headed towards our own Willowbrooks at the end of our lives, and that we have to change the system radically away from illness-based tertiary care, which is focusing medical services on the far end of illness, which is the most lucrative part of medical practice, and establish the public health system as the dominant administrative directorial profession that essentially emphasizes prevention, early intervention, and what all. So the book essentially starts with the story of the Willowbrook debacle, and then the arc of the story leads you to the need for what we call single-payer healthcare, which means that we would move from our current medical market system to a population-based healthcare system that provided comprehensive tax-based services to every single individual in our society and deflects people away from Medicaid-funded long-term care to lifetime care.
If you love live music and want to be up close and personal with the band, there's only one place to go, the Torch Club. This hotspot is the place to be with two shows a day, Wednesday to Sunday. Check out the upcoming shows at torchclub.net or just drop by 904 15th Street in Sacramento. The Torch Club. There's always something happening. We all know that money spent on politicians is nothing more than a bribe. Citizens United called it free speech, but we know better. But what if we could balance the scale a few bucks at a time? That's what we're doing at the Six Pack, taking small donations and adding them up to make things more fair. Crack open some change. Support the Six Pack. Paid for by the Six Pack, which is responsible for the content of this advertising. www.thesixpack.com. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. Welcome back to From the Roots Up. In our next episode, we took on climate change, but through the lens of insurance, which is something that affects us all, one way or another. Looking out on the thing
that isn't. Looking out. I am here today with Dave Jones, who is the Director of Climate Risk Initiative for the Center for Law, Energy, and the Environment at UC Berkeley Law. Former California State Insurance Commissioner, and we're going to have a robust conversation about the insurance industry, the climate crisis, and many other things that I think impact all of us, whether we know it or not. Welcome, Dave. Thanks for joining me here today.
Great to be with you, Sean, and your listeners.
So, you know, one of the things I've always thought was great about you is that you have this deep understanding of these issues, and yet you can explain it to folks in a way that they understand it. Because, you know, when we're talking about things like insurance markets and climate risk and what that, you know, these are very complicated financial issues. They're complicated scientific issues. But, you know, you and I met years and years ago and had a conversation about this. And what do you say to folks when they say to you, Dave, my insurance is he getting canceled or has gotten super expensive, and I just don't understand why? What do you tell them in a way that they can understand it?
It is hard to understand, but what I start with is, what is the prime cause of this crisis across California and the United States and the globe, which is the climate crisis. Insurance is the climate crisis canary in the coal mine. And the canary is dying. What's happening is that insurance companies are seeing their payouts go up globally throughout the United States and in California. And insurance companies are for-profit companies, and they respond to increased losses in two ways. One is they raise price. And we're seeing a lot of that in California and a lot of that across the United States. And two, they also stop renewing insurance and stop writing new insurance. And they do both these things simultaneously. And so in the states and regions where climate change driven severe and extreme weather related events have fallen hardest, whether it's wildfire, drought, extreme heat, flooding, hurricanes, tornadoes, hail, severe convective storms, that's just a partial list, right? All of these things are getting worse because we're not doing enough fast enough to transition from fossil fuels and other greenhouse gas emitting industries. That's causing global temperatures to continue to rise. That in turn is changing the climate and causing more frequent and extreme weather-related events. And that's killing more of us, injuring more of us, destroying more of our homes and businesses, but also causing insurance companies to pay out ever larger sums.
From the Roots Up is community radio that is sponsored by community businesses. If you'd like to join the growing list of folks who make this show possible, reach out to Jenny, J-E-N-N-Y, at khi.com. From the Roots Up is brought to you by The Six Pack. Crack open some change and support the candidates and causes we need in these times. Paid for by The Six Pack, which is responsible for the content of this advertising. www.thesixpack.com. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
I walk, let you guide me, my eyes are shut like I'm blind.
Our next episode of From the Roots Up, we took on public education and school boards. Take a listen.
All right. Welcome, everybody. I am here with J. Ross Pirelli, and we're going to talk about a lot of things today. But I just want to, I got to go through the whole list of amazing things you do. You're on the Placer County Arts Commission. You're on the Economic Development Commission, the Youth Advisory Commission. Is that right? Yep. And founder of Beats Lyrics Leaders and Kids of Palooza and former school board member right here in Auburn, California. J. Ross Pirelli, thank you for joining me today.
Thank you so much, Sean. I appreciate everything you do. Thank you for being a voice, too. We really need your voice right now.
I have always been really impressed about all the different ways you connect to community. It's something that's in my heart, too. As you know, we've shared time on as school board members in adjacent Foothills towns. And, I've always thought it was amazing that you could connect the work you do in the community with that higher level of actual elected service. Tell me a little bit about your time on the school board. I know you're not serving there now, but you know, what was it like for you to be on the school board in these times when school boards suddenly became the subject of national news?
What a great question and loaded question to start with. You know, I would have to say first and foremost, the amount that I have learned being on the school board in the realm of education and advocacy was huge. So I happened to, in Placer County, start the first DEI statement for our Auburn Union School District. And upon receiving a new board, it was attempted to rescind the DEI statement. And that kind of started a whole 3-2 board. There were two of us that were very much deeply, deeply involved in the school system, volunteered on a regular basis, could tell you probably almost every child's name, if not every teacher's name, and really, really involved in what was going on with the community as far as families and students were concerned. Almost to call myself like a youth advocate. And when we had a big change and turning point in our board, it really became a 3-2. And I, the term battle comes to mind. I mean, it was really like an uphill battle to prove that showing up is what we have to do on the board. If you're going to make decisions for another human's child, you have to show up. You have to see the effect of those policies that you're making and changing, and you have to see the response that the children have to it. So I continuously asked our board members to show up, and I think in a way that might have angered them a little bit to the point where it became a little bit of a hostile environment. So by the time I left the school board, which was in December of 2024, it was a bittersweet leaving.
If you love live music and want to be up close and personal with the band, there's only one place to go, the Torch Club. This hotspot is the place to be with two shows a day, Wednesday to Sunday. Check out the upcoming shows at torchclub.net or just drop by 904 15th Street in Sacramento. The Torch Club. There's always something happening. One of the things that's infused almost every topic we've examined on From the Roots Up is the relationship between money and politics and policy outcomes. In this episode, we look directly at the issue.
welcome to the interview portion of our show this week on Money and Politics. With me now are Megan Shumway and Don Wolfson, who are affiliate members of the Sacramento chapter of Move to Amend. So welcome and thank you for being here with me today.
Thank you.
So, you know, as we get into this conversation, I guess the first thing people want to know is, what is Move to Amend, and what does it have to do with money and politics?
Well, so Move to Amend founded immediately after the 2010 Citizens United decision, and they looked at what went into the Citizens United decision, and they put together an amendment that basically overturned both those things and mandated Congress to regulate them.
What was the Citizens United ruling, and what are the major things that changed when it happened back in January of 2010?
So it basically combined the two premises: one, that corporations had constitutional rights, and two, that money in politics was protected speech under the First Amendment. And it basically said that if you can't restrict people from contributing money to campaigns, you can't restrict corporations either. And they put limitations on it. So, for example, corporations can't directly put millions of dollars into, you know, John Garamendi's campaign or whatever. But what they can do is they can form organizations that independently fund campaigns, and they can, you know, flood the airways with money. They can flood the newspapers. They can flood all, you know, media everywhere, and just basically use the money to try and influence people's votes.
This is known as super PACs.
And they're unlimited.
Yeah, they can give unlimited amounts of money.
So you can spend an unlimited amount of money if you're an individual too, or a corporation, right? As long as your quote, and I saw you do air quotes, and I've done this many times when I say this word, long as you're quote independent from the campaign. But, you know, I mean, when I see these commercials and I see the money they're spending, the mailers they send out and stuff, it seems like they have a pretty good idea of what the campaign would like to have said about them. I mean, how independent are these super PACs from their candidates, really?
Yeah, I mean, I can't imagine that the candidate doesn't know that this PAC is out there supporting them.
Actually, the PAC can do a lot of things that the candidate probably never would dream of doing, like attack their opponent. So it's a very convenient setup for them to have a super PAC do all their dirty work.
Yeah, and so, but of course, like, We know where all this super PAC money comes from, right? Don't we? I mean, like, if I took a contribution from people, I have to report every penny that I get from people. And then there are campaign contribution limits. I mean, now you're saying that these super PACs are unlimited. Now, are they also secretive about who they get their money from? I mean, yes, they have
to be. They can be. I mean, there are certain protected classes that don't have to disclose. I don't know all the details on them, but for example, religious organizations, you donate a bunch of money to a religious organization and then they donate to the PAC, and you don't have a way back to who those donors were.
Right. So so it would be possible theoretically, and probably more than just theoretically, that criminals are donating to these super PACs without
foreigners.
Us knowing. Foreign nationals, countries. Right, which are who are prohibited from donating directly to candidates, but they could put their money into a super PAC. And here's another one that I thought was really interesting that somebody brought up to me the other day. They said, well, if you look at the major corporations in America, most of them have lots and lots and lots of foreign ownership. The source of those funds could be from anywhere, right?
Basically, you know, anywhere in the country or really anywhere in the world.
So this is what people, when people use the term dark money, is this what they're talking about?
Absolutely.
We all know that money spent on politicians is nothing more than a bribe. Citizens United called it free speech, but we know better. But what if we could balance the scale a few bucks at a time? That's what we're doing at the Six Pack, taking small donations and adding them up to make things more fair. Crack open some change. Support the Six Pack. Paid for by the Six Pack, which is responsible for the content of this advertising. www.thesixpack.com. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. This episode of From the Roots Up is brought to you by The Torch Club, Sacramento's premier live music venue every Wednesday to Sunday. Check them out at 904 15th Street in Sacramento or online at torchclub.net. Investor-owned utilities, or IOUs, are something we've all wondered about, especially when the power goes out. In this episode of From the Roots Up, we look directly at what they are and how they work, particularly how they have impacted the rollout of renewable energy.
All right, well, we have Dave Rosenfeld, the Executive Director of Solar Rights Alliance, here with us today. And, you know, Dave, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Sean.
So this entire show, we're talking about, you know, investor-owned utilities. I've sort of told people that's the IOU, and it's not the way we all think about IOU, like the maybe the good way or positive way. You know, investor-owned utility, but we've also talked about PG&E in particular, because so many of the people in our listening area are PG&E customers, and then we've talked about, you know, sort of the influence that PG&E has in the legislative process. But before we get into all that, we certainly are going to talk about those things. Why don't you tell us about the Solar Rights Alliance?
Yeah, so the Solar Rights Alliance is the nonprofit association of California solar customers. We believe that everyone has the right to make energy from the sun without unreasonable interference from the utilities or the government. We keep track of what politicians and the regulators and the utilities are up to. And then we alert the public when there's a threat to rooftop solar or an opportunity to make it available to more people. 15 years ago, when Arnold Schwarzenegger launched the Million Solar Roofs Initiative, you know, there wasn't very much solar in California, and to get it, you had to be either rich or really, really handy, like kind of a DIY person. And until the CPUC stepped in and made a proper mess of this, you didn't have to be either. And today, 60% of all solar customers are middle and working class. Half are people of color. It's very, very, you know, everyday people are, it's just getting into the hands now of everyday people.
It feels like there was a time when it was just like all anybody was talking about. Everywhere I went, people like, you got solar, are you getting solar? Like, it, and then suddenly it was like, I didn't hear about it so much. So what happened, or what is happening?
Yeah, it's a what is happening. And, you know, people are still getting solar, but it has gone off a cliff since the Newsom administration made some big changes that essentially just gutted the progress that we've made. And so, you know, rooftop solar, like I said, you know, in the beginning, there wasn't much. Governor Schwarzenegger, and it wasn't just him, it was the legislature as well. That initiative was wildly successful. You know, it made it from something that was like a very niche product for wealthy people to something that everyday people were getting and are getting. It was starting to actually also then go on multifamily homes in a really, really big way. And this is great for all the reasons you've just given. In addition, it also is reducing the cost of the grid, because when you make your own electricity, then the utility doesn't have to spend as much stuff on stuff. Like poles and wires. We'll talk about that, I'm sure. So it was like net benefit. But at the very same time that rooftop solar was taking off, the utilities, and this goes back now to around 2010, 2013, in back rooms, and not just here, but all around the country, they started talking about how are we going to kill this thing? Because they never liked it, but they didn't really take it seriously. And all of a sudden now consumers were getting it, and they saw the price dropping, and they realized this is going to become like the car or a cell phone. Right, or a TV. And so there's now leaked documents. We have them on our website from boardroom meetings at the national level, where they basically are very open in saying, this is reducing our profits. We've got to take this competition off the table, but it's popular. So we have to figure out a way to besmirch it. And so that's where they came up with the lie, where they inverted the truth and basically said, we're going to blame rooftop solar for high rates. And gradually they bought off lots and lots of politicians and other people. They either bought off or they were able to kind of just convince or sucker a little bit of a constellation of nonprofits to, and academics to give them some cover. And then by the time you got to 2015 or so, the regulators, the Public Utilities Commission, with even just 5 years before, was very pro-rooftop solar. Their studies were pretty clean. Their own research was showing that this thing is a net benefit to ratepayers, both financially and environmentally. But by 2015, you saw a shift. And by the time we got to 2022, they had shifted so far. And this is all at the hands of Governor Newsom. Like, he was completely, he's completely on this train. And we'll talk about why. They gutted the policies, the key policies that led to this growth. And so you can see it on a chart that when those policies went into effect in mid-2023, solar adoptions go off a cliff. And we are now at adoptions are happening now at a level that we haven't seen since 10 years ago.
From the Roots Up is community radio that is sponsored by community businesses. If you'd like to join the growing list of folks who make this show possible, reach out to Jenny, J-E-N-N-Y, at khi.com. If you love live music and want to be up close and personal with the band, there's only one place to go, the Torch Club. This hotspot is the place to be with two shows a day, Wednesday to Sunday. Check out the upcoming shows at torchclub.net or just drop by 904 15th Street in Sacramento. The Torch Club. There's always something happening. In the following episode of From the Roots Up, we got out into the world and talked to community members about what's on their mind. Let's jump right in with the grassroots folks, the people of our community. What was on their mind when they went out to see Bernie and AOC? And I think we're going to start with the, you know, the things that are on people's mind. I think that's really like where we should always start, because, you know, everything gets loaded up in such a political binary in the world we live in. But like, I think it's most important when we're talking to our friends and neighbors to talk about the things that they'd like to see better, the things that are maybe even scaring them, the things that they have real concerns about for themselves, for their family members, for their friends. But I think when you hear these clips, you'll be amazed, as I was, that folks really have can quite eloquently tell you about their life and their concerns. So with no further ado, here are the people of the rally on From the Roots Up.
I am here because AOC and Bernie seem to have put their finger on the pulse of what's needed in this moment. And I am extremely afraid of what the Trump administration is doing vis-a-vis Social Security, disappearing people to El Salvador, and contemplating doing the same for U.S. citizens. So I am here because that is not the America I grew up in, that is not the America I know, and that is not the America I want to live in.
I've been a huge supporter of Bernie since when he first was trying to run for president, and to kind of see him not make it was tragic, to kind of especially see where we are now. And so just to be around people that feel the same way is kind of uplifting, especially when things are just kind of really crappy right now. And I wanted to see him because he's a special person.
Yes.
Big, spots
big Bernie fan since the beginning and all the things that he's done.
I just think the whole idea of not going back to the way that things used to be. There's no such thing, I think, as making America great again. I think there's things that we need to do so that we don't slide backwards in history. We've been through segregation, Jim Crow, civil rights, LGBTQ. All of those things are things that we've made real progressive strides going forward, and I don't want to lose that ground.
I think the thing that's so astonishing is just the blatant corruption, how there's no hiding it anymore. It's just so out there on the table. And I feel like there's a feeling that there's no accountability. And I think the more we talk about it and the more we stand up against it, then I feel like we are the ones that are going to be holding them accountable. You know, we can't desensitize from it. You know, we have to keep saying this is wrong. This is wrong. And I think the numbers like speak for themselves, you know.
I'd like to see Republicans start standing up, listening to their constituents, and really just stop rolling over and letting the president do whatever the president wants to do.
When they start emptying the nursing homes, when Medicaid is no longer paying for them, when the Social Security checks start arriving late, when food inspections fail and people start getting mass food poisoning, basically suffering. When people see that it really is real, it's really in front of them, and it affects their family, especially their children and their parents, then I think that's what's going to, unfortunately, what's needed to take it.
Being indignant about what's going on is really much more prevalent than we think it would be.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of people who voted for Trump that are sitting back now going, what the hell did I do? This is not what I was voting for.
My number one thing is definitely going to be immigration. I used to work at a law firm where we help people get green cards, help people get visas. And recently, the thing that's been making me enraged the most is the fact that, you know, people are always mad that, oh, do things the right way. And when you do, Trump is still here deporting people who have visas, who have green cards, who have a family, who've been here for years. And that's really infuriating when I come from a background of immigrants and like people who do have green cards. And, you know, every day they don't feel safe and this is their home and you're telling them it's not fair.
We got married right after the election because we feared for our civil rights.
Yeah,
so we got married. So we secured our equality rights, my human rights. None of the camps in Nazi Germany were in Germany. They were all outside of Germany. So perhaps Nazi camps are probably going to be in El Salvador and God knows where else. Wake up.
This episode of From the Roots Up is brought to you by The Torch Club, Sacramento's premier live music venue every Wednesday to Sunday. Check them out at 904 15th Street in Sacramento or online at torchclub.net. We all know that money spent on politicians is nothing more than a bribe. Citizens United called it free speech, but we know better. But what if we could balance the scale a few bucks at a time? That's what we're doing at the Six Pack, taking small donations and adding them up to make things more fair. Crack open some change. Support the Six Pack. Paid for by the Six Pack, which is responsible for the content of this advertising. www.thesixpack.com. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee. At From the Roots Up, we're always trying to get at issues from the ground level. In this episode, we talked about homelessness with someone who has actually experienced it.
I have with me here Adam Lopez, who I met some time ago when I was running for office. Given the topic of today's show, which is about housing, I thought Adam would be the perfect person to have a conversation with because Adam has had experiences that that I don't think we actually often get to hear people talk about in a real direct way. So thank you for joining me today, Adam, and welcome to From the Roots Up.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
So, let's get into your story a little bit. When I met you through another constituent, and you were one of my constituents. I think a lot of people have this idea that people who don't have a fixed address are not constituents of the political process, but you have the right to vote too. And I met you through another constituent who said, I would really like you to meet Adam. So tell me what was going on when we met, and maybe a little bit about how you ended up in that situation.
All right. Well, yeah, when we met, it was crazy downtown. It was just a real big boost of homelessness downtown on 8th Street, in front of businesses everywhere. It was just really bad. The library was just overloaded with homeless people, and something really needed to be done. And I don't know what the city or county is doing, but I got into First Steps through being ticketed with it on a being in a tent. They allow you a couple of days to either get out, or they'll come back with a county worker and try to find you some shelter. And usually there's nothing available. I was lucked out and got into First Steps, and I believe that's who the county or city is working with to get people off of the streets. And several of the people that I had known downtown were here with me at the First Steps for a while, and they've successfully gone to other places.
When I met you, you were living in a tent on the street.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
And when we first talked, I mean, I think we actually went to breakfast the first time I met
yeah.
you.
Yeah, that I've never been to that restaurant. That was quite a treat for me. I seen a lot of homeless on the outside, and the people, going, wow, it's just so much homelessness. And so it was just like wherever you went, that conversation was happening.
Yeah, it sure was at that time. When I was running for office, I couldn't go to any part of the city without people wanted to have that conversation. So, yeah. And you told me a little bit about your story, but I mean, are you willing to share with folks sort of how you ended up in that situation?
Well, I was working for a church, and I won't say who, but I just learned some things that I really had to take a second look at my understanding of God and the church. And even though there's some amazing people in the church, the doctrine I am not really following anymore. So I had to leave that. But along that time, my sister was killed. One of the reasons I got angry with God. My sister got killed. She was murdered. Some guy, she had just been baptized. My mom had been pushing her to get baptized since she was little. She's already had 3 kids and got her master's in respiratory therapy at the hospital she was working at, and but she loved the bad boys, got killed. I kind of went nuts on my little saying the heck with this, with the world and leaving the church, and I tried to end it myself. And I ended up in a shelter and on the streets and reevaluating my life.
Wow. And so I think a lot of people have this notion that there's always a substance abuse issue, or it's always a chronic problem. But it sounds to me like what really happened to you was like things were going along okay, mm-hmm. and then life just hit you.
Yeah, absolutely. I was in I guess I was in denial of a lot of things, and I really had to take a closer look at my life and where I was going, the path I was following. And even though I should have been doing a lot better, I just seemed to be spiraling, And so I just tried to end it. But I totally feel a lot better now than I have been. And
And thank you for sharing a little bit of your story, because I really do think it's important for people to understand that this isn't a problem that's just limited to people with chronic issues. We all go through things. It could be the loss of a loved one. It could be the loss of a job. Mm-hmm. It could be the couple of things, colliding at the same time.
Right.
And once you're there, man, it seems like...
Oh, yeah. It's so expensive now to get on your feet. There's a couple of folks here that are just mentally ill. They had stopped taking their medication, and now they're in a homeless situation because they got off their meds. They, running through the street, talking to invisible people. So once people on the street see that, I can understand why they think, oh man, it's gonna get them out, get them away from people. But they have no substance, you know, abuse problems. Their issue is mental health, and they're not getting paid enough to live in a place they can afford. They have to get shared housing, and then you're living with other people who are mentally ill. You're going to end up walking away. I used to be real conservative and thought, you know, people that were homeless were idiots. And, you know, I had a really terrible outlook on life, even though I thought at the time that, you know, I was great. But after balancing out, I call it, I realized now that, you know, there's a lot of people that need help, and starting to, you know, be patient in understanding of folks. That's how you learn.
From the Roots Up is brought to you by the Six Pack. Crack open some change and support the candidates and causes we need in these times. Paid for by the Six Pack, which is responsible for the content of this advertising. www.thesixpack.com. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. Every once in a while, something unexpected happens in your community that requires coverage. In this episode of From the Roots Up, we covered the Fighting Oligarchs rally in Folsom, California, with Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, AOC, and Senator Bernie Sanders.
I hear a thank you. thank you all so much. You know, I heard that someone started flying a plane with a banner that said, this is Trump country. It sure don't look like it today. I don't think this is Trump country. I think this is our country. Because we're not afraid of them anymore, are we? I want to thank each and every one of you for making the effort to be here today. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I know it's really not lost on Bernie or myself, the sacrifice that it takes to take the time out of your day to get someone to cover your shift at work, to carpool, to figure out how to be here today. And we really cannot thank you enough, because this is the power of this moment, coming together, being here together, meeting one another. And I want everyone to look side to side. I want everyone to leave here today knowing someone new that you didn't know walking into this on the way out. Because those are gonna be the people right here that are gonna change this country and change Folsom in the next year or two. Isn't that right?
We are here this evening to say very loudly and clearly to Mr. Trump and people all over this country, we as Americans will not accept oligarchy. We will not accept authoritarianism. And we will not accept a rigged economy where working people struggle while billionaires become richer. We will not accept a situation where, if you can believe it, one man, Elon Musk, you've heard of Elon. Elon owns more wealth than the bottom 50% of households in America. That, brothers and sisters, is insane. We have got to, together, create an economy that works for working people, not just Mr. Musk and the billionaire class. And to make a bad situation even worse, at a time of unprecedented income and wealth inequality. Never had more inequality ever in America than we have today. Mr. Musk and the Republicans in Congress are working on a reconciliation bill. And this is legislation that would give $1.1 trillion in tax breaks to the top 1% and they pay for that by cutting Medicaid by $880 billion.
From the Roots Up is community radio that is sponsored by community businesses. If you'd like to join the growing list of folks who make this show possible, reach out to Jenny, J-E-N-N-Y, at khi.com. In this next episode, we covered food insecurity in our community on From the Roots Up.
I've got Tammy from the Gold Country Food Hub, and that's Tammy Riedel. And I've got Lori Rinker from Feeding the Foothills, which is part of Feeding America. I have Andy Hayes, and he's from the Auburn Interfaith Food Closet. And I've got Ryan Fuchtenick from Placer County Health and Human Services, CalFresh, a number of other things. Welcome, all of you, and thank you for being on the From the Roots Up.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks.
Well, I don't know where to start except to say probably I will start with you, Lori, to talk a little bit about what Feeding the Foothills does in our community. And then just give us a sort of good broad overview and maybe a little bit about how you work with the other folks here in our show today.
Great, Sean. Well, thanks for having us. First of all, part of Feeding America means we're one of 200 food banks nationwide, and we're assigned territories. Our territories are Nevada County, Placer County, and El Dorado County. So what we do is we have relationships because of Feeding America with all kinds of retailers and national partners. So what happens is that we get our food from these retailers, we get them from Feeding America, we get them from places like Tammy's Hub, which are farmers, local farmers, organic local farmers. Thank you, Tammy. I so appreciate that. We get them from manufacturers that we have relationships with. And aside from people like Tammy, we also have other farmers that we get food from.
Ryan, why don't we talk a little bit about where, you know, Placer County Health and Human Services fits and CalFresh fits in this whole matrix of, you know, going up against food insecurity in Placer County.
Yeah, thank you, Sean. Thanks for having me. You know, this CalFresh program is California's version of the SNAP program, the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program federally. And it's just like it says, it's a supplemental program. It's, you know, the greatest anti-hunger program ever established in the world. I say that very confidently. It's an incredible economic driver for our community. But it is supplemental, right? And so that's where a lot of these organizations that we work with, and we refer folks to all of the different folks we're talking here tonight. We obviously give them a lot of different resources when we work with them on eligibility. We're serving about 17,000 households right now, comprised of about 28,000 people. So, those numbers are really up. You know, our caseload has increased around 90% since the start of the pandemic. You know, we attribute that a lot to inflation. And, you know, all of our partners here tonight with us see that as well. You know, the need just seems to be growing. And, you know, we're doing everything we can to combat hunger and to make sure that people are aware of not only our department and how to receive services, but also of all of these other fantastic organizations that really do help to minimize food insecurity in our county.
Well, I have to say, as I go back through these episodes, that we really have had some amazing guests and helpful conversations. I have learned and grown a lot in my knowledge, and I hope you have too. As we move into this new year, we'll continue searching out the topics and the people who can give us a ground level view. And we'll do it in that special From the Roots Up way. I'm Sean Frame, and I hope you'll join me every week as we delve into a topic like this, and I hope you'll engage me in a conversation. If you want to reach out to us, send an email to fromtherootsupshow@gmail.com.
Come down and get straight. It's in our eyes, it's how we operate. You're true, you are. I'd apologize, but it won't go very far. Please come here, come right on over. When we collide, we'll see what gets left over. A little joy, a little sorrow. I try to see things your way.